revelation gift. We've talked about discernment of spirits. Now we talk about the word of wisdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, it says, the Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom. I remember once speaking to a missionary who had been in a Chinese concentration camp and then later in the Japanese concentration camp first and a Chinese communist concentration camp secondly. He was a priest. And the Chinese communists would drag him out every day for questioning. And he said he was shocked because what came out of his mouth was things he'd never thought of. And he said he really believes now in John 16:13. Where Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own. He speaks of what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Also, do not worry before when they drag you before kings and princes, it will be given to you what to say. And so that, to me, is one of the beautiful examples of the word of wisdom. It is a charismatic gift. There is a certain amount of natural wisdom, and there is demonic wisdom, but we're talking about the charismatic gift of wisdom, by which the Spirit leads us, draws us, inspires us to say something, to do something, or not to do something, or not to say something, in a way that's helpful building up the body of Christ. Remember when Jesus was conned by the Pharisees, and they said, now, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Jesus most probably just hung back and waited for the Spirit to minister to him. And he said, well, whose image do you see? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render to God the things that are God's. And that was an answer in the Spirit. All right, so it's a spiritual gift by which we have an intuition. It's a drawing to do something, to say something, or to omit something. Generally, in a workshop like this, I tell people that I'm not responsible for my own actions. On a week-long retreat, I'll sometimes say that, because I'll feel led at times, maybe right in the middle of a talk, to go up to someone and just pray for them. And then I'll pray for them, I'll turn around, and I'll continue. And they'll say, why did you do that? I say, I don't know. I felt a leading. I felt a drawing, and by experience I know that's the Holy Spirit, so I follow it. And that's the value of having teaching on wisdom, because many of us have inspirations of wisdom, but we put them aside and say, that's me. I'm making that up, just like in the gift of tongues. Many of you denied it. The gift of prophecy, many of you thought it was you. We tend to really minimize the power of the Holy Spirit within us. There's a spiritual principle, three principles that I use, that I've learned through my work with gifts. And the first principle is this: the Holy Spirit has worked in my life more than I realize. Can we all say that?
The Holy Spirit has worked in my life more than I realize.
Second principle: the Holy Spirit is working in my life more than I realize.
The Holy Spirit is working in my life.
Third point, the Holy Spirit will work in my life more than I realize.
The Holy Spirit will work in my life more than I realize.
If you really think about it, we give ourselves more credit than we give to the Holy Spirit, don't we? Oh, that can't be the Holy Spirit. That has to be me. Oh, I put more stock in the Holy Spirit than you, when you really think about it. Huh? Sure. The Spirit is working marvelously in our lives. Because God is love and He surrounds us with His love, and that Spirit is ever working to heal us, to deliver us, to build us up, to bring us into greater holiness and union with Christ. So that is a spiritual gift by which we're intuitively drawn to do something, to say something that helps a person and thus builds up the body of Christ. Have any of you ever been in your automobile and all of a sudden it's almost like it drives itself? And say, why am I going this way? And you come and say, oh, that's Jim's house. I just feel I need to stop. And you go and knock on the door. Jim comes and says, how do you know? How did you know I needed somebody right now to pray with me? And how many have had that experience? Raise your hands. All right, about a fifth of you have had that experience. Many of us had that experience. Linda tells the story of being in the hospital and feeling drawn to go into the room next to her and pray for a man. And she resisted like we all do, and then finally was drawn into this room. And this man was telling her that he had been praying for someone to come pray with him because he was going to lose his sight and go blind. And she knew it was the Spirit that led her and guided her. We want to become much, much more sensitive to the Spirit, because he's ever active within us, always, always active. How many have had the occasion to get someone's name in your mind or a sense of someone many times during the day and said, I think I'm going to call up Jim. His name keeps coming to my mind. You call up Jim, and Jim says, I really need someone to pray with me. How many have had that experience? Okay, that's at least a third. That's the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been teaching, and you begin to say things you've never thought of, and you say, that's great, but where's that coming from? And it begins to roll out of your mouth. How many have had that experience? Almost every priest that I have in my retreat has had that experience. That's the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom. He's saying things through you. This is just rolling out of you. Something like prophecy, it just kind of rolls out of you. You say, that's great. That's great. How many of you have been in a situation when someone said, oh, by the way, would you pray for me? And you're going to say yes, and you get a check in your spirit. You get a check. You can't say yes. There's a blockage there. Say, well, maybe I'm not the one to pray for you. I just don't feel led. How many have had that experience? It's the gift of wisdom, the Spirit leading you. Huh? And he's saying, in this case, don't. For some reason, don't ask questions. Just don't pray for the person. I know somebody told me that they had that one time, and they knew they shouldn't. They went ahead and prayed and were sick for 3 days. They probably picked up some spirit. I know many people say that they feel led to move from one place to another. And especially during the war, military chaplains would tell you that they're in a foxhole and they feel this leading. And they don't know why, but they just get up and they go to another foxhole, and a bomb lands in, or a shell lands in that foxhole. Chaplains can tell you many, many stories, and men have said the same thing. I believe there's a natural gift, too, that mothers sometimes will be working, and they'll just have this drawing. They just get a sense they need to go home, and they may find their children praying with matches. I think there's a natural gift there, but if it's a charismatic Christian or baptized Christian, it's probably the supernatural gift. It's the natural gift has been raised to the supernatural level by the Holy Spirit. So it's more of the Spirit than of the Holy Spirit than the human spirit. There can be occasions where pagan mothers can be drawn. That's the human spirit, so to speak. Their own bonding with their children, spirit to spirit. But we're talking about the supernatural gift. Our spirit, compenetrated by the Holy Spirit, led to do something, to say something, or not to say something, or to omit something. One of the ways I find wisdom works is by just relaxing in conversation. I remember one time I had pulled in to do a healing service, and I was unloading the car, and a man came out. He said, can I help your father? Sure. And we're unloading, and he said something, and I just said, well, that's because you need to forgive your wife. And then I said, oh, my God. Huh? And he didn't say anything. I met him a year later. He said, you know, you were here a year ago, and you said to me that I needed to forgive my wife, and I was very angry with you. I didn't say anything. But he said, after a few months, I realized you were right. Have any of you had that experience, saying something to someone, and it just kind of came out, and you said, oh, my goodness. I remember one time a woman called up and said, Father, I hear you have a prayer meeting. I said, yes. She said, I have cancer of the bone in my mouth. Oh, I said, come and you'll be healed. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. She came and she was healed. But I violated my own principle. I would never tell anybody. I didn't know this woman from Adam. I would never say, you're going to be healed, huh? Cancer of the bone in the mouth? The Lord regenerated the bone, huh? But it was the Spirit speaking through me. Isn't that wonderful? That the Spirit can speak through me. Occasionally on a retreat of 5 days, when we're really intense and the anointing is strong, I'll feel an anointing of the Spirit. You know how we felt it in prophecy? The stirring of the Spirit. I feel a stirring of the Spirit, and I might just come up and just, I get this deep sense of peace on me, and just point at someone and say, the Lord is touching you right now. You can feel His warmth in your heart. He's increasing the gift of healing, of wisdom in you, so that when you talk with children, you'll be able to speak to them through the Holy Spirit. You can feel the warmth in your heart, and the Lord is anointing your temples right here, and the Lord is saying that He's pleased with you, He loves you, He's been hearing your prayer, He is increasing your gifts, and you are going in the right direction. Do not fear, be led. Andrea, how much of that fit you?
Everything.
Yeah, the Lord will do that. When I talk about this and I come up, I just kind of feel the leading. It's just being sensitive and let it come out. It's almost like being passive. Let the Lord use your mouth, and the Lord would just speak. Could you feel the warmth in your temples?
Yeah.
Could you feel the warmth in your heart?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's burning still. You got what you deserved. Thank you. This is another way in which the Spirit works. That you, the Lord just gives you information about people that you'd never have any knowledge knowing. Huh? You just feel that leading, like. I hear the Lord saying that you've had a lot of death in your family when you were young, and that has severely traumatized you. You carry a lot of fear of sickness and fear of death, and the Lord is saying that He wants to heal that. He wants to wants you to open up your heart to Him and bring in the light of the Spirit, especially around ages 6, 7, 8, and 9, where there's a severe trauma in your family, and that's a blockage to your being totally open for Him, and He wants to heal you and bless you very significantly this week.
My grandfather committed suicide when I was in second grade.
Okay. Praise God. 8 years old. 8 or 9. See how the Spirit just moves through you? Now, sometimes on the 5-day retreats, I'll do a workshop, which is have everybody in a big circle. I'll stand in the circle. I'll have everybody pray on me for the anointing. And I'll generally know when I'm under the anointing because I begin to sway like this. And when I begin to sway like that in deep peace, I know the anointing's upon me. And then I'll just follow the leading of the Spirit, sometimes with my eyes closed, to show you how the Spirit can lead you and guide you. And then I just place my hands on someone, and I'll get a prophecy, or I'll get a word of wisdom, like I just gave Connie, say something like, the Lord is healing a lot of stress in your head. You've been carrying a lot of stress in your head and tension, and the Lord is healing that. The Lord is calling you to yield yourself to Him more and more, not to worry about conditions in the family, in the church, but to look more to Him, to be more tuned to Him. The Lord wants to heal you and give you a greater sense of peace and love.
I feel
the drawing of the Spirit, and I'll close my eyes because you can feel that drawing. You can just feel it, and sometimes I'll just turn. I follow that to show how the Spirit leads us and draws us, and then I just lay hands on one of the people. And I've seen 60 people in a circle, and as I go around, most of them end up resting in the Spirit. How much of that applied to you, Bob?
Well, I had a headache earlier, which I was prayed over, and it just about had gone away. I have been asking pretty much for a calling as to what the Lord wants me to do in His life. I don't know so much about the stress, although it has been a little stressful, like I said, lately, because I'm just trying to make a decision as to where to go.
Bob, when you want to find the truth, you always ask a man's wife. How much of that do you think applied to you?
I think all of it, really.
Yeah.
Because he does have a bit of a physical problem, like a bit of a heart problem, and triglycerides, etc. And I think if he were healed of it, he would feel more free to move around and do more things. And he needs to give in to the Lord.
Give in to the Lord. Yeah. You always get the truth out of a man's wife. Morton Kelsey tells the story that he had a dream of a Viking, and he couldn't understand what a Viking meant.
So he happened to bring it up at table with his wife and children. He said, you know, I had the dream of a Viking, and I just can't understand what that means. And his wife says, I know what it means. And his kids said, we know what it means. You are a Viking. I mean, you are in here like a Viking. You're loud. And his family knew immediately. So you want to get the truth, go to the spouse and you get the truth. That reminds me of the case of a woman said to her husband, you see the new couple that moved in next door? Yes. You see how romantic he is? Every morning he takes his wife in his arms as before he gets in his automobile. In front of the whole neighborhood, he kisses her 3 times. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't you do that? He says, I hardly know the woman. Getting back to the gift of wisdom, you can see how wisdom works. It's the drawing, it's letting the Spirit talk through you, move through you. And the Lord will bring people to you and sometimes draw you to people. And it's just that being sensitive, being open, giving that word from the Lord. Now, no one in their right mind is going to do what I do, what I just did, and just stand and point unless you really feel the anointing of the Spirit. Otherwise, you get punched in the nose. But see, it's pretty much right on the button. That's the Spirit moving in us. And the word of wisdom controls all the gifts. The wisdom would control use of tongues, praying in tongues like at a Sunday service. You'd never pray out in tongues at a Sunday service. That would cause so much difficulty. In some of the things I'm teaching you, you're called to use prudence and wisdom. There'll be some times when someone would say, I'm dying of cancer, but I'm offering it to the Lord. And I know the Lord wants me to suffer. And you'd say, Lord, do you really want me to pray for this person? Because they're so entrenched in that. Should I disturb that good faith? Sometimes the Lord may say yes, sometimes he'll say no. Leave him in good faith. I've had cases like that. People said, oh no, Father, I don't want you to pray for me. Because I'm offering this up for my sins. God sent me this suffering. And I know God didn't send him the suffering. Huh? And I say, Lord, what should I do? Just leave him alone. So you follow the Spirit in what you say, what you do, where you pray. Especially important in counseling and in teaching. You can ask the Lord, Lord, lead me to say those things today that are going to really help people. Remember the story I told you, I think it was yesterday, we were having a retreat, and this man was a barber, a very uneducated man, was at this retreat house, and we were having the charismatic retreat, and it was lunchtime, and he went out after lunch for a walk, and he met this monk, because this was a Benedictine retreat house, and the monk said, oh, all you charismatics like to do is pray and sing and have a good time, and the man wheeled around and said, Father, you're like the brother in the story of a prodigal son. You always lived in the father's house, but you don't know what you've had. And the man he said, what have I said? And he came back that night, really shaking and upset. Spirit of wisdom moving through him. Remember David Duplessis, the great Pentecostal, was under a lot of pressure when John F. Kennedy was running for re-election and he was put on the carpet by some ministers for his association with Catholics. And David Duplessis especially was put on the carpet because Catholics have such a devotion to Mary, what they would say, worship Mary. And he was questioned, you know, you're always with these Catholics. Are you a fanatic and worship Mary? He said, oh, no, no. She says, do what he tells you. And that's what I do. A word of wisdom, huh? Right when you're in a tight situation. Somebody was telling me, and I shared it with you, of having to contend with a minister who was giving a lot of trouble. She said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, pray in him. And so she said, can we have a moment of prayer? He said, yes. And they prayed together. She said, I'd like to just pray in you. He said, okay. She prayed on him. He rested in the Spirit, and he got up and said, anything you want, it's fine. Huh? He was so touched. She really asked the Lord. But it's important to feel the anointing, to be led by the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about, the need to be led. And also as leaders, when you're having trouble in a prayer meeting, Lord, what do you want? Huh? First of all, you sense something's wrong by discernment. And then you say, Lord, what is it? And the Lord may say something like depression. Ah, there's so many people here that are depressed. We really can't get praising. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord may give you a sense of lay hands left and right. Have everyone stand up and pray spontaneously. You lead a prayer meeting by the Spirit. And I find that very, very unusual in leaders. I think most leaders tend to lead more by exhortation, exhorting the people to do this, to do that. They talk too much. See, when you come to a prayer meeting, you have as much praise as you can, and you sit back as a leader and pray. Then, when someone's out of order, say someone gets up and is reading a chapter of the book of Revelations, or two chapters, then you stop praying and you start acting. You keep good order. That man is out of order. And you say, brother, that's fine, thank you. That would be sufficient. But just the opposite is true. Instead of having high praise and sitting back praying, a lot of leaders are up front trying to encourage people. Oh, we got to praise the Lord, we got to do this. They talk too much and pray too little. Then, when someone's out of order, instead of getting up and acting, they're praying. That's not the time for praying, that's the time for acting. You ought to keep good order. And once the order is restored, then the Spirit will flow again. So oftentimes it's just the reverse. When they should be praying, they're acting. When they should be acting, clearing the impediment to the Spirit, they're back there praying and asking the Lord to do it. But that's their role, to keep good order. So very briefly, the gift of wisdom is that leading of the Spirit to do, to say, to not to do, or not to say. I'd like to ask someone to share with me ways that they've experienced wisdom. How have you experienced a movement of wisdom in your life, being led to do or say, or not to do, to say? Oh, say. Can anyone want to share? Okay, no one wants to share. All right. Go ahead. Oh, I'll use this mic right here. And also, we'll entertain questions in the few remaining moments.
I always pray that the Holy Spirit will take over when I'm doing the healing ministry classes. One night we got there, and I already noticed that I sounded like I was parroting a bunch of stuff. So he said, everybody stop. Let's pray for Lucetta. She's not letting the Holy Spirit do it. And so they did, and then the Holy Spirit took over. But I don't even always remember what I said when he takes over.
That's good, yeah. Oftentimes, when you come into the gift of prophecy, there'll be a strong anointing. You'll get up. You won't remember what you said, and that's fine. That's fine, because you're ministering to the body. Your job is to minister to the body. You deliver the word of the Lord, whether you remember it or not, is not important. How it affects the body is important. Now, this would bring up the question, how do you come under the anointing? We keep saying the anointing. What would be a way of ensuring that you come under the anointing? We generally say 15 minutes of singing and praying in tongues will generally bring you under the anointing. If you pray in tongues for 15 and 20 to 20 minutes and or sing, but it should be more praying in tongues, maybe 60% in tongues and 40% singing, then you begin to get a sense of the Spirit upon you, of the anointing, and it will come in different ways to different people. With me, it's just kind of a swaying back and forth. There's a harmony in my spirit. There's a certain peacefulness and a swing. When I feel that, I generally know I'm under the Spirit. But there'll always be a sense of peace, and always, oftentimes, a sense of the Lord's presence. Yeah, that anxiety is gone. You can just be at peace, and you move, like I did up here. Huh? I just came up here, and I felt led to look over here, and I felt led to say it, and I did. And it was right on the button. That's the Lord moving. Do we have any questions now on the charismatic gift of wisdom, which controls all the gifts, controls our whole Christian life? All right, why don't you come up here, and we'll put it on, come over on this side, and we'll put it on tape, because we want people watching the video to hear this. We don't want to miss anything. And then I'll just pray for an increase of the gift of wisdom.
Well, something that has really troubled me is interpretation and Bible study, and I wonder if the gifts of the Spirit, like wisdom, can help in that area. By that I mean that when you look at various commentaries, even Catholic commentaries, in key areas of Scripture study, there's conflicting interpretations. One Bible scholar will say one thing, and another Bible scholar will say, no, this means something entirely different. And so I was wondering if wisdom or some other gift of the Spirit can help in that regard.
Yes. Yes, wisdom will. Lord, just ask the Lord. Lord, give me your interpretation here. And just pray in tongues, and then see what comes. So, Lord, I just pray that all of us will have a tremendous increase in the gift of wisdom, that we'll be much more sensitive to your Spirit, much more sensitive to the leading. And we thank you, Lord, for what's gone on in our life, and we ask for this grace through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We come now to the revelation gifts. So far, we have covered the word gifts, are the inspiration gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Then we moved into the power gifts, miracle, healing, and the gift of faith. And now we move into what we call the mind gifts, or the intellectual gifts, or the revelation gifts, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. Scripture says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And how can we have the mind of the Lord? By letting the Spirit give us the information we need. Perhaps the clearest example for me is when a plane is landing in Seattle or any other airport in this fog, the captain has the headphones on and he's listening. And they'll say, all right, now 5,000 feet above the glide path, above the ground, Vectus 270. And he follows instructions. And drop 1,000 feet, and he'll follow instructions, and he can't see a thing, but if he follows instructions, his wheels will land right at the proper place on the runway. And it's really amazing to see these planes drop out of the fog right on a dime. And the reason was is he has someone with a higher power of knowledge. He has somebody with a radar screen, and he's taking instructions. And that to me is an example of the revelation gifts, that we're listening to the Holy Spirit, who is truly our guide, our mentor, our teacher, as he was Jesus' guide, mentor, and teacher. And what we've been saying is that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're empowered with the Holy Spirit to minister as Jesus did. Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit. He was led and guided. And oftentimes Scripture says the power of the Holy Spirit was present for Jesus to heal. So we're going to talk about the revelation gifts tonight, and if you notice, we've really talked about the word gifts, letting the Spirit speak through us, the power gifts coming from our power source, our Spirit, and now the information gifts, the revelation gifts, or the mind gifts. This is how we produce the ministry of Jesus. Father George Montague, the scripture scholar, has said that God ministers to us in three ways. First, in a very physical way through the sacraments. Secondly, in a psychological way through the word. Thirdly, in the way of the Spirit through the charisms. Just like the tripods on these cameras. There are three legs on that camera. That's what a tripod is. Some, for example, Catholics would say, really all you need are the sacraments. One leg. The evangelicals will say, really, all you need are the scriptures. The Pentecostals would say, well, all you need are the scriptures and the charisms. We would say you need all three: sacrament, charism, and scripture. We see the balance there in the Catholic charismatic renewal of mind, body, spirit. So the charisms are very, very important. And also, when we get into the revelation gifts, which we're beginning tonight, these are the leadership gifts. That is how people, for example, who are leading prayer meetings, they lead by the guidance of a spirit, the spirit. Music ministries are led by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Healing ministries. We all try to move in the Holy Spirit to be led and guided by the Spirit. Again, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So we begin now with a gift that's very maligned, and that is discernment of spirits. Anytime anybody has to make a decision, they say, I've got to discern. I've got to discern what type of spirit is in this person. I've got to discern how the Lord is calling me to move. Discernment is one part of the revelation gifts. The other is wisdom and knowledge. I want to begin tonight by talking about discernment. Discernment is a charismatic gift, okay, by which the Spirit gives us a sense of what spirit is moving in thought, word, or action in a particular situation. All right, first of all, it's a charismatic gift, because you can have discernment on the natural level, you can have it on the supernatural level, or you have it even on the demonic level. Natural, supernatural, and preternatural. The demonic we call the preternatural. You can get a sense. So that basically we're looking for a sense of what spirit is behind this situation. Someone stands up and gives a testimony, and it really doesn't strike you. It's not anointed with the Spirit. It's in the flesh, we say. It's the human spirit speaking. This is on a natural level. It is not anointed. You don't feel the stirring in your spirit of the Spirit's activity. And usually you can tell that because people, you know, ho-hum, they're looking around. People are restless. Whereas when a testimony is given and it's really anointed by the Holy Spirit, people are really tuned in. They sense the Spirit moving and they're tuned right in. So the intensity of intention oftentimes can give you the intensity of the anointing of the Spirit or the lack of anointing. Also, with songs, some songs you get caught up. For example, I think one of the most anointed songs of the renewal is the Eightfold Alleluia. I use that all the time, and I know it just lifts depression. I think we're all familiar with that. Alleluia. And it just lifts human spirits. There are other songs that, well, they're all right, and there are some songs that you don't want to hear. Of course, at any particular time, the Lord can anoint a song, and He will generally anoint one song at a certain time in your life, and that song is going to really minister to you. The words and the melody will really edify you and build you up. Recently, what has really touched me is, "We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of our Lord." It will always lift you up. It will always edify you. It always brings you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. I remember the first time I came into the renewal, the first song I ever heard was "The Spirit is Moving." "The Spirit is moving all over this." I can't stand it now. I hate it. But at that time, it was anointed. It ministered to me. It just really ministered to me, and now I don't want to hear it. Because at that time, the Lord was saying, this is going to really edify you, encourage you, heal you, and minister to you. Another way we see the charismatic gift of discernment working is in prophecy. Someone stands up and gives a prophecy, and it really elevates you. It makes you just want to praise the Lord more, or just go into deep sense of reflection with the Lord. Other times people stand up and give a prophecy and it doesn't do anything for you. Somebody was saying that they notice sometimes people give prophecy, or what we call non-prophecy. It's really not from the Spirit, it's from their own flesh. You find this a lot where people are not instructed in the gift of prophecy, and oftentimes for prophecy they'll pass off a scripture, their favorite scripture. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pastures." And it really doesn't touch you. You're sensing that that this is the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Occasionally, rarely, you will run into a false prophecy. I've only run into two of them in many, many years. I don't think most people run into a false prophecy. But I remember one time at Loyola University in New Orleans, at the end of, after communion, a man way in the back said, "My children, how can I be contained in a little piece of bread?" And I got cold chills up and down my spine. And I turned to Father Harold Cohen, who was the celebrant, to tell him he needed to say something. And when I went there, he was on his feet already, enunciating the Catholic doctrine of Eucharist. Afterwards, I talked to about 15 people that I had brought, and all of them said the same thing. They had cold chills running up and down their spine. They sensed the evil spirit there. You will rarely run into a false prophecy, but which means it's against a biblical or Catholic or church teaching. When you do hear it, you will know. You will know. Sometimes we see people from a distance, and we may not see their face, and you just feel that attraction to them. You may just see them as a person over there, and you just feel an attraction. On the other hand, you may be out and see someone in the street, and you feel a repulsion. There's a discernment there, that this is the, your spirit is sensing the Holy Spirit there, your spirit is sensing the evil spirit. Or there's someone there, and they're just... There's no electricity between you. That's just a human relationship. Sometimes you can go to a place. I have been to Medjugorje and Assisi. And there's a sense there. There's a presence. There's a deep peace. You sense it as soon as you go there. You're sensing this, the movement of the spirit in that area. Other places you go and you can just feel... evil pornography shop, for example, you just get a sense of repulsion. There's the sensing of the evil spirit, an evil thing. For example, rock music. After you're baptized in the spirit, most probably you cannot listen to hard rock music. It grates on your spirit because your spirit has become so sensitive and in harmony with the Holy Spirit. It's repulsion. You pull back. Other times you see a painting or a picture or a banner that it draws you to it. You just sense there's something beauty there. So that, first of all, discernment is a charismatic gift by which we sense. It's intuitive. It is not reflexive. And that's the important thing. This just happens. You sense it in your spirit. It is a sense. And that's why it's so difficult to talk about. Sometimes people say, we have a process of discernment. It means you go through 2 or 3 days writing the pros and the cons of this project. But a lot of that is rational. That's rational discernment. And although you do try to sense what the Lord is saying, as I understand charismatic discernment, it is a spontaneous response of your spirit to a person, place, or thing, sensing what spirit is moving, whether it's the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, or an evil spirit. We have to say it's a charismatic gift again because we know on the natural level you can sense things. Some people are very sensitive by nature and they can sense things. Other people are sensitive in the demonic, in the preternatural. So if you have a plan, you say, Lord, is this truly of you? I'm trying to sense if this plan is from you, from my own flesh. And most of the time you're going to be dealing with your flesh or with the spirit, or a mixture of both. This idea that I have to sell all things and go follow you, is that truly from you or is that my own flesh? This project that I have, is it truly you, Lord? I'm trying to sense, is this the Spirit prompting me to get into this ministry, or is this just my own desires? So we really try to sense it out and have it confirmed in many different ways, in Scripture, in prophecy, in prayer, asking the Lord to give us a sign. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the first things that happens to us, I believe, is our spirit becomes much more sensitive to the things of the flesh as it's possessed, the things of the spirit possessed as we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. Remember we said baptism in the Spirit is a surrendering of your spirit to the Holy Spirit by which nine basic gifts are released so that now the Spirit can flow through you as according to John 7:37, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his spirit will flow living water. And Scripture says that Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit. So it's important to understand that we become sensitive to the things of the Spirit through the baptism of the Spirit, because one of the first things you're going to notice is Scripture comes alive. One of the first things you're going to notice, the Mass comes alive. I remember one time in a hospital, this elderly nun, she was about 75, 76, she said, "Father, would you give me your blessing?" So she was kneeling down, so I really took advantage of her. I said, "In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit." We found him saying, "Baptized in the Holy Spirit." And the Lord did. And a couple of weeks later, she said, "Father, it's amazing the change in the hospital. Everybody's smiling now. Everybody's so happy." The change was in her. And Mass comes alive. You say, "What happened to that priest? Boy, the Mass is so beautiful." What happened to you? You become much more sensitive to the presence of the Lord in prayer, in the Eucharist, in Scripture. Just people begin to look better to you. I remember a story I read of a missionary. He was a witch doctor in Africa, and he had been converted by some evangelicals, and he was brought to the United States to go to Bible school. And he said that in the United States, he encountered two places where he experienced evil, the same as when he used to call up evil spirits by his incantations. And he said, one was where any place they were playing rock music, hard rock, and pornographic shops. He would have the same feeling of evil spirits as when he was in Africa, invoking them by incantation. I mentioned that some people can walk into a parish church and they can sense the movement of the Spirit in the vibrations of prayer and love and faith that are in that church, and they can pretty well tell the level of spiritual life in that parish. I find that quite interesting. Now, we get into the whole area of deliverance. It's an area we don't like to talk a lot about, but it's a necessary area to really cover because not much has been said in Catholic circles about it. First of all, the basic principle is that we don't believe there's any such thing as a deliverance ministry per se. There's a healing ministry that has a dimension to it of deliverance. We say that inner healing is used and deliverance is absolutely necessary. So deliverance is like surgery, and the doctors wait till the last resort before they cut. Before you start doing deliverance, you want to make sure you've covered all the bases. And what we've found is the more you do inner healing, the more you ask the light of Jesus to go into the painful memories or to touch the areas of repeated sin or the areas of the occult, the more the person is set free. Because the question is asked, how do spirits enter a person? In one of three ways. First of all, through painful memories. Remember the example of the hard-boiled egg? The white is the memory, the yellow is the pain. The spirit gets into the pain. As an example, a woman is raped. Oftentimes, she'll pick up a spirit of terror. There's the pain of the memory is so intense that a spirit can get in there and hook into that. He hooks into the pain. Second way spirits make entry is through repeated sin. So say you lie and lie and lie, and after a while you develop an attitude of lying, a pattern of lying, a spirit of lying can hook into you, so it's very difficult to tell the truth. And the third way is through the occult, in which you in some way implicitly invite the evil spirit in. So when we come to areas of deliverance, we try always to do the inner healing and that will set people free. And a great manner of inner healing, as we covered yesterday, was through forgiveness. When people say the forgiveness prayer, because beneath all negative emotions, hurts, and pains, there's anger. And we're all repositories of anger. And through forgiveness prayer, we ask the Lord to siphon off that anger in all of us. There's a wonderful book called The Angry Book, written by Isaac Rumer, a famous psychiatrist. And he says older people, old people are sicker than younger people because older people have collected more anger. They've lived longer. And when younger people get old, they will have collected a lot of anger, then they will get sick. That anger, that poison begins to infect them in different ways, physical ailments, psychological ailments, spiritual ailments. So we're saying when you are into the whole area of deliverance, stress inner healing, stress the sacraments. But there are some times when you may have to do deliverance, and you use especially the gift of discernment. So you're praying on someone, and I'll give you a practical case. One of the first cases I've ever had of deliverance was a very mild woman who had arthritis in her back. And so I was praying on her, and I sensed that there was more than a psychological root here. Remember the principle, beneath every degenerative illness, there's usually a psychological root, a painful memory. Painful memories. And I sensed there was something wrong, and all of a sudden the spirit started speaking through her, which will happen in about 10% of the cases. And the spirit spoke to one of the men who was in the room who didn't believe in spirits, and he spoke to him and said, "You better get out of the room." Now this is a gentle, quiet woman with a masculine voice. "You better get out of the room because you don't believe." And I told the fellow to leave. I sensed there was something there. So when you're praying with people, oftentimes you can sense there's an evil entity there. Now, it's just something that you have to learn through experience. You're praying with people, you feel pretty good, and all of a sudden you get a heaviness in your spirit, a heaviness, a sense of evil. You have discerned that, we got spirit activity there. So discernment is always looking for what type of spirit is there. People say, "I'm going to discern what way to go to Los Angeles, by car, by plane, or by bus." That's an improper use of discernment. Discernment is trying to sense, it seems to me, what spirit is behind your plan. Is it truly the Holy Spirit? Is it the flesh? Or is it the evil spirit? So say you're going to a rock concert down in Los Angeles, a hard rock concert, and you're trying to discern which way to go. No, and you come to me, I would say, "Now let me discern whether that idea is from the Holy Spirit, from the flesh, or from the evil spirit." Huh? And I just kind of sense, ooh, this does not feel good. This feels like it's from there's an evil source behind it. I'd say, I really feel that this is not of the Holy Spirit. I remember once praying on a man in Birmingham, Alabama. This is in my book, Word of Knowledge, this particular case. And he had a burning in his mouth for a year. He'd gone to Mayo Clinic, University of Alabama, and Ochsner Clinic in New Orleans, all fine diagnostic hospitals. And no one had ever been able to alleviate the burning in his mouth. So a friend of mine asked me if I would pray for him. He was actually a Baptist deacon. So I said, "Sure." And I went to his house and met his wife and went in the room, and I laid hands on him, and I sensed there was something evil here. And then I said, "Lord, what is it?" See, I shifted over to Word of Knowledge. I sensed there's evil there. And that's all discernment does, it seems to me, is sense what the spirit is. Then you shift over to Word of Knowledge. "Lord, what is this?" And I got a sense, occult spirit. See, and then I shift over to wisdom. How do I deal with it? What's the prescription, Lord? I got a sense, go directly after it. And I bound the spirit in the name of Jesus, and I cast it out. Spirit of the occult, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, and I cast you out, and I command you to go to Jesus for disposition. First, I asked him, "Have you been to a spiritist by any chance?" "Well, yes, Father." I confirmed it through him. He'd been to a spiritist, which is not unusual in that part of the country, in that community. So the burning left, and in a minute it came back. So I said, Lord, what do I do? And I just kind of prayed, and I get a sense of attachment. Here's the word of knowledge, attachment. Attachment. I said, and attachments will block the deliverance. I said, when you went to the spiritist, did he give you anything? A charm or an amulet or a candle? He said, oh yes, Father, he did. And I said to his wife, take it and bury it in the backyard. She took it out of the room, was a lucky charm. I did the deliverance again. The spirit, the burning left and left to me. It didn't come back. But when I originally went in there, put my hands on them, and I do put hands on people because I think you get a better reading. Some people say never put your hands on someone when you suspect a spirit. That's an approach, but I feel I get more contact with the person, what's going on in the spirit when I lay hands. All right, so here we are now with the gift of discernment, that inner sense. As a leader in a prayer meeting, you will get a sense, the spirit is moving here beautifully, huh? Beautifully. Oh, this is good. I'm just going to continue the praise. Let the spirit lead the meeting. Another time you get a sense, something's wrong here. I can't put my hand on it, but there's something wrong. I sense there's something wrong. There's something blocking. You get a sense that there's not the flow, or that there's something out there interfering with the spirit. And you know, your job as a leader is to maintain good order, to sit back and let the spirit lead the meeting, which he'll always do if you have a lot of praise. If you don't have much praise, it's going to be much more difficult. But the first half of any prayer meeting should always be praising and worshiping God, especially in music, tongues, and prophecy. And the meeting will lead itself, so to speak, or the spirit will lead it, and you get a sense, this is good. Other times you get a sense there's blockage, and then you shift over and ask the Lord, what's the block? So it's important for us to be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the way we do that is by our openness to the Holy Spirit. Because it's that Holy Spirit within us, conjoined to our spirit through the baptism in the Spirit and further intensified through prayer and good works and reading the Word in our spiritual life, that sensitivity, we become more sensitive the more we're possessed, ruled, and guided by the Spirit. So, Lord, I just pray for an increase of discernment of spirits in all of us, that we can be totally possessed, ruled, and guided by your Spirit, so that we will sense what Spirit is leading and guiding. And we thank you, Lord, for your beautiful gifts that come to us through your love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.